Hey.
All right, and we're back.
All right, so today we are talking to Red Gaskell. That's how you say your last name, right?
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet. So this is a social media podcast by your friendly social media manager, Evan Rogers. And Red, how would you describe yourself? General.
In general, man,
I
I'm a
like what you put in there.
photographer,
Yeah.
filmmaker, creative in general. It's funny. I saw a debate that happened on Twitter and Instagram stories. One person was ranting about like people calling themselves content creators, and he was like, "No, everyone, if you're not a content creator, you're creative." And then on Instagram stories, I had another friend ranting about like, "Why are people calling themselves creatives? That's not specific. You're a photographer, you're a filmmaker, you're this. Like, be specific." So I was just like, oh man, now I'm really confused.
Yeah. You gotta either, you gotta make up your mind. That's what the second guy is saying. It's like,
Yeah.
but that's the problem, right? Is that like nobody is really one thing. Like you can't
Yep.
really, there's so few just like jobs for like, oh, I'm just a photographer. You know what I mean?
A 100%
So
agreed.
I'm with you. I sympathize with people who are like, you need a collective noun that works, right? And
Right.
sorry that in both cases that's like content. When it comes to stories
Yes.
and creators, when it comes to being a creative person.
Yeah, and
Sorry.
it's like
Sorry, English language.
I made a book last week. Does it like can I say I'm an author now too? Like, how do I put that all into one bucket?
Well, first of all, yes, you can absolutely say that. So I wanted to, speaking of the book, it's Uh-Huh Honey, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And you released it on Amazon.
Yeah.
And so walk me through like what how did you think of the book? And what was the real like creative genesis of this piece?
So I actually own the book that I parodied, Milk and Honey, and it's often mocked for its like, it's the millennial poetry book because it's just like very short prose or oftentimes just like one sentence, and people make fun of it a lot for its I for a number of reasons, its
Sure.
simplicity, whatever. But so I thought, like, what better way to immortalize Kanye West's tweets than to like use this book? I think a couple months ago, maybe Milk and Vine came out, and they parodied the book by immortalizing vines that have, like the ones that everyone loved.
Yes.
With their shitty illustrations. So I was like, I'm gonna just do this with Kanye's tweets. And I did one page, and like four, or I did the cover and four pages, and I posted it on Twitter and my Instagram story. And when I woke up, I thought I'd just make it online. I didn't even think about making it a book, but when I woke up, enough people were like, this is hilarious, you should make it a real book. So then I looked up how to make a book, and I Googled, and I went on the Milk and Honey website, and in her FAQ, she talks about how she self-published using Amazon. And I was like, oh, okay, how hard is
That is
this?
cool.
I went on the Amazon's website, which is createspace.com. You can self-publish books, film, CDs, or whatever. Yeah, I just walked through their guided process. They're like, okay, make sure it's in this size, make sure it's in this format. And they have an algorithm that checks to make sure it prints. And if it passes the tests, then you submit. And I submitted it Sunday evening. I spent about 3 hours illustrating those 42 pages. And then by Monday morning, before I got on my flight to San Francisco, I got an email from Amazon saying it was good to go.
That's wild. Okay,
Yeah.
so 3 hours of illustration. Yeah,
Yep.
I like the illustrations.
Thank you. I
I think
didn't filter myself. I just like the first thing I thought of is what I drew.
that's cool. It's
Yeah.
hard. It's
Yeah,
hard.
it's not easy. I got stuck on some and I just was like, okay, these tweets aren't going to get an illustration.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I really wanted to talk to you about. I think that there's a lot of podcasts out there, and there's a lot of media out there that's sort of like, being creative is so cool. We're all having so much fun and making so much money being creative. And there's really like, if you want to figure something out, it's not that easy. It's more complicated than that. But it sounds like you really found your way in terms of finding a drop shipping publisher, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was just, it's like the perfect combination of like timing, luck, opportunity, and, you know, just a little bit of hard work. I missed my friend's birthday party on a rooftop in Williamsburg for it. But I think, you know.
Yeah, that's enough rooftop parties in Williamsburg, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all right.
Send them a nice card. It'll be great.
Yeah.
So that's the next thing is that, okay, so like that's a huge, you know, I frankly, guys, I don't really know how Anchor works. It's been incredibly sketchy for me to pull back the kimono, honestly. I already tried one podcast. We had it drop 2 times. Great. So what I was going to say is I would love to include that link to the FAQ that you found some of that stuff in. And, you know, I hope that you decide to write about this experience just in terms of the Amazon part, but because I think that nobody really knows.
Honestly, oh, yeah, I 100% am. I actually was vlogging while I was making the book because on publishing it. Like, I don't know what the title is going to be. Maybe I was thinking maybe it should be clickbaity, like how I made a number one top selling book in 24 hours or something. But that feels kind of sleazy.
But yeah, it makes me hurt a little bit. But it should. I mean, you know.
But like sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, you got to play the game, kind of.
Yes.
And if the content is good, then like, hey, you know, like I'm at 400 subscribers right now. My Q1 goal for YouTube was to hit 10K, and I'm like way off the mark. But you know,
dude. So let's. I really want you to talk about at some point how this the exact specifics of like getting this published, because I also made a photography book, and actually that's where I broke down. I couldn't find a drop shipping publisher that I really loved. You know, there's a lot of like minimum, there's a lot of minimum sales. And I was just like, I have no idea if I could sell 500 of these. So I don't even have a clue.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. So minimum sales, like a bunch of, it was going to be expensive. It was going to be like $3,000 or $4,000 to get this done. Then the other thing I wanted to ask you about is like, do you have any, experience in publishing design? Like, are you a regular user of InDesign? Like, were you minding your gutters and like all that good stuff, or did you like slam and jam and like get ready to go?
So I have no publishing experience. This is the first time I've ever made a book or tried to make a book. And then the second question, InDesign, I use it for my resume, and I've used it for a number of presentations and things, but not for actual print. Like I knew that like I had to make it 300 DPI versus 72 DPI, which I'm sure that's knowledge I'm going to take for granted. It might seem like no big deal, but I'm sure there's lots of people who are like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Can we cuss on this or no?
We can definitely cuss on this.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'd say I'm novice at InDesign. I'm not an expert. There were definitely things I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And like, I remember
it's a goofy program.
Yeah. Like, cause I was doing the illustrations in Photoshop and I was trying to get them into InDesign. And I was like, how do I do this? I ended up just doing screenshots and dropping them in and PSD files and dropping them in. And I was like, this looks blurry. I don't understand. But when I exported it, it looked fine. So I was like, okay, great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, whatever works. Have you gotten a copy of this book yourself yet?
Yeah, I have 12 copies in my house right now.
And you like the quality that you got out of it?
The amount of effort that I put into it, I am extremely satisfied. Like, I look at it and like I can see that like the print on some of the drawings, you can see it pixelated. I wish it was smoother.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, for 3 hours of work and zero upfront cost, like, man, I'm pretty happy. It's physical.
Would you agree that that your ability to turn this around in a really short amount of time, you know, sort of contributed to the success? Like, do you think if it came like even a week later, do you think it would have been as effective?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of the narrative of his tweets were very different 2 weeks ago. So they were much more enjoyable by a broader audience. And now it's he's a lot more polarizing. So I don't think it has the same effect.
Right.
Now it's, before it was just like a funny thing. Now it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing that I think, you know, really struck me was that you sort of struck the iron while it was red hot.
Yeah.
But we sort of live in this age where like nothing is ever finished, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the time people actually receive this book, the Kanye tweets had already turned towards whatever you would call them now.
Right. Right.
I think this is still effective because, you know, obviously like it only serves to highlight that difference of like, what the hell is going on?
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, did you have any sales goals? Like, you know,
I wanted to sell anything. I wanted to sell like maybe 5 to friends, and now it's I've sold like 372.
That is super cool, dude.
Yeah.
That is super cool.
So I'm just in awe. I was working on a pretty big project last week in San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
And at the same time, like this book thing was blowing up. So it was just like, I was just focused on 2 different things, making this project go, this pop-up that I was working on go very well. But also like this book, I was like, okay, it's going well. Like I want to add more fuel to this fire. So I was just like reaching out to friends, sharing it, like asking them to leave reviews, finding out if anyone worked at Hype Beast or High Snob or Complex that I could send it to.
Yep.
So it worked out great because, I mean, I didn't get anything from Hypebeast or Complex, but High Snob, they bit. So nice. Great. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You're a freelancer, right? Like you would describe your general steez as a freelancer?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is there's probably a lesson here. And tell me if you agree or if you disagree. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a cool lesson here that is like I think you had a really good scope for this book, right?
Yeah.
Where you, you know, this is short, and mm-hmm. I think that your illustrations, you know, I think that you basically did a really good job at like exactly how much work should I put into this relative to like the sort of value of the project, right? And I think mm-hmm. that's such a hard thing to nail, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you had, for example, you know, got really self-conscious about the illustrations and, like, spent mm-hmm. the whole week doing them, it would have just completely sort of not worked.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, like, sometimes overworking an idea and, like, you know, would you recommend that people strike the iron while the creative juices are flowing?
I mean, yeah. I think a lot of creatives, we talk about this flow state all the time. Where you just feel like you're in the zone and everything's working. And I mean, even when I was making these illustrations, I didn't want to do anymore. I knew I'm not an illustrator, so I couldn't do any better if I tried. This was it. I do find myself getting into this trap sometimes of like, just thinking too much or iterating and not sharing it. And I think this book I read recently, or I'm still reading it, it's called Creative Confidence. It's by the guys from IDEO. And there's a chapter where they talk about the 1-hour prototype, where when they're, you know, trying to articulate an idea to a client or to themselves, to their own team members, and words or the deck isn't, you know, doing it, they will just spend an hour trying to create the prototype of the idea just so that they have a stronger selling point for it. So that's kind of, I think, what I ended up doing here. It's like, okay, I spent like 20 minutes on those first few pages and that was my 1-hour prototype, even though I didn't spend a full hour on it, and it got enough interest that I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should make this a real book. How hard is it to make a real book? Oh, I could do this in a day, less maybe. Great. I'm going to just get it out. And I knew, well, it's the internet, it's Twitter. So everything lasts, like an hour on the internet is like a month in real time. So it's like, okay, every time I need to get this out as fast as possible. One, before someone else does it, because the idea is out in the world now. Yeah. I don't know how many people know about this website. Like, they could have seen it and started making it a real book. So I was like, okay, you got to get this out like by tonight.
Man, it does sting a little bit when you sort of like have a great idea, but it's only in the primordial phase, and then you tweet about it and you're like, fuck, I should have like.
You should have followed through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So just tell me a little bit, how did you make these illustrations? Did you just do it with a mouse?
So I did it on my trackpad on my 2016 MacBook Pro 15 inch. So it's got that nice big pad. There's a lot of real estate there. I don't have like a tablet or a mouse or anything. I just did everything on my laptop.
See, this is, honestly, Red, I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm one of those people that has spent like a couple $100 on like a really nice Wacom tablet and still can't draw.
Yeah.
It is infuriating that you just trackpadded this.
Yeah, I was just like in Photoshop, like using my index finger to draw these things. That's why like some of the stuff I was trying to spell out with text.
Yes.
And I was like, oh God, no one can read this. That's when I erased it. And I used Times New Roman to spell out distraction on the knife that's stabbing the eye. But everything else was, you know, it was just the index finger.
Well, I think that's, you know, there is a note here that I will say, which is like the concepts of the illustrations are very good.
Thank you.
It is infuriating that you just use your finger on the trackpad to make these things, but the concepts are good, right? So I think, you know, anybody listening to this that's struggles like me and looks at everything that I, you know, looks at everything that I draw, and I'm just like, well, that is just ugly.
Right.
You know, the concept needs to be there. And that's what's super cool about this is you just like, blah.
Yeah.
It's like brain dumped, and you're like, this is good.
Yeah.
Let's get this out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to sort of round out this conversation. So like, yeah, you were saying that you were, doing a project in San Francisco and you were also vlogging, and that you had a goal, you know, you had a subscribership goal, for YouTube. I'm just, you know, a little curious, like from the freelancer standpoint, you know, I would just love to know sort of like how you think about diversifying income and like working in this like digital freelancer state.
Okay. So where should I start? There was a lot of different topics there.
Well, I mean, let's start with this. Presumably you'd like to have a YouTube channel because it is, you know, a long lasting, pretty stable, growth opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, let's start with this. How do you decide on, you know, some of these creative endeavors? Like, you know, it takes a long time to do YouTube video, as you know.
Yeah.
Like, what's attracting you to YouTube in 2018?
For me, it's, I want to know I can build an audience on my own. It's more of just like a personal goal, really. Like, I want to build an audience for myself. Like, I did it so long for a brand that I'm like, oh, like, can I do it for me? Like, all the things that I did while working there, can I apply that to myself personally? And then the other part is it would be another revenue stream that opens up the doors for opportunities to work with brands. And also there would be some, not as much as before apparently because of like all the ad stuff, but it would be a nice, you know, revenue stream every single month doing the thing that I'm already doing. So that would be great. But in terms of like client work, I have like three things that I look for, and it just has to fit two of those three. It's like either the money's good, the project is good, like the idea or the concept, or I like the people. So if it has two of those three, then most of the times I'm going to say yes. And if it's all three, that's very rare. And that's like, that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, here, let me hit you with this.
Yeah.
What, you know, in your, what were some of those things that you were doing for brands that you think were useful in terms of your own personal brand? Like, if you can give some just concrete, like, these are some things I was doing or have been doing.
So with this brand called Norn, they're like a membership based traveling company. It's more like a like Airbnb meets Soho House, kind of. I wouldn't say travel because you don't like travel with them, but they have homes in Berlin, Barcelona, London, and San Francisco. And I was helping them get their Instagram off the ground, and that was great because I got to go to London and Barcelona. Like, they paid for it, and that allowed me to meet with other creatives, shoot a bunch of cool stuff, and just generally have a good time in another country. And like, I wouldn't be able to do that on my own. So
that's super cool.
That was great. And then with this most recent client, Floyd, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're a furniture company from Detroit. They design everything in Detroit, and all the steel and lumber that they source for everything is from the Great Lakes area. So it's like a true made in America story. Mm. And for them, me and my producer, we concepted a series of events for them in San Francisco as they were launching same day delivery. And I got to create like an kind of design the social experience for the house and all the different like touch points that their customers and new people to the brand would experience. So my like the crown jewel of the whole thing was their flagship thing is product would be their bed frame. Their whole thing is that there's no tools needed. Everything just assembles and is like either comes with like these pieces that screw in by hand, or it's like tension based. So they have a bed frame, and I thought since it was spring and I'd seen all these like wonderful flower installations, we would create like a bed of flowers. And I worked with a florist company that in San Francisco called Ampersand. My mock-up was a screenshot of the bed, and I used this tool to draw emojis all over it. I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Young Jake, but he does a lot of emoji portraits of celebrities. And he built this tool that's web-based. And all you do is like you pick the emoji and it uses it as a brush, because like kind of clone stamping or whatever repeating would be really tedious, but this allowed me to do it really fast. So this allows you to do it really fast, because I was like, how much time does he spend doing this? This must take forever. But if you like just hold down, it like it just the emojis just flow out very quickly, which is
great. That's super cool, and they liked that.
Yeah, so they liked that, and that was the concept. And then Ampersand, they made it a reality, and like people were just like completely blown away. So it made me super happy when people were walking in, taking tons of photos, and we left an open space so that people could like sit on the bed or lay on the bed if they wanted. And that ended up also being the stage, because we had an R&B singer from Oakland, Rihanna J, perform, and the bed with the flowers was her stage on opening night. And it was just like this perfect setting, because we had like the Philips Hue mood lights on. She was singing like an R&B set on this bed. There were flowers all around her. People were just like, and we had like maybe 400 people show up to this event. And this was their first event. You know, it's an away game for them. They're from Detroit. They're coming to San Francisco. So yeah. I think it just completely blew the goals out of the water, because I think our expectation was around 200 for the night, but final count was around 400. So we were just like, yes, huge
win. That does feel good.
Yeah, feels great.
All right, so to close it out, do you have any advice for someone who's very young right now, coming up through school, and wants to do creative freelance work like you? What is one thing, piece of advice you could give them?
Just make stuff. I think volume, especially when you're starting out, is kind of the game. And then, you know, quality comes over time. I know a lot of people are like, quality over quantity, and like just be careful and do this and that. I don't know. I went to school for accounting and I hated it. And like, I don't have a traditional creative education or anything. So I just learn through doing, and I'm very hard headed. So I just learn things the hard way. So my approach has always just been to just do it and learn through trial by fire.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Red Gaskell, author of Uh-Huh, Honey. It is out on Amazon right now. You can find a link to it down in the description. Please give that a read. It is full of amazing illustrations, guys. And
thank you so much.
All you need is a finger. That's what we learned today.
Yeah.
All right, Red, thank you so much.
No, it's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.